Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But I'll tell you what, I had a really nice holiday. I did. Ate way too much food, ate way too much leftovers. I did the American thing. And you know what? I'm happy I had that opportunity. And I'm happy that we live in a free society where you have the opportunity to change your life however you see fit. You can do the things that society tells you to do, or you can do the things that you think are more prudent. It is completely up to you. It takes me to the topic of today's show because I've got a lot of information I'm going to try and push out to you here. But I think it all starts with the concept of who, or maybe I should say what, is in control of your money. You know, I'm going to start off by just asking you to consider a question that is very serious to your financial well-being, both now and in the years to come. And it's strictly this question: who's in control of your money? Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty simple and right to the point. But that simple question is really multifaceted because it doesn't specify whether I'm asking you about the money in your pocket right now, the money in your bank account, the money you're going to use to pay your house note or your car note a year from now, or the money you're counting on in 5 years or even 15 years, or maybe the money that you're considering for retirement. Yeah. Well, let's start first with just talking about the money in your pocket or your wallet or your purse. I mean, that's easy enough. Clearly, you're in control of that money, right? Yeah, not if you're married. If you're married, then most likely your spouse is in control of that money. Come on, fess up. You know what I'm talking about. All right, enough of the funny stuff. To some degree, the same is true about the money in your checking and savings account. Although banks do pay you a paltry rate to safeguard your money, while at the same time, they will charge you triple or quadruple the amount of money when they lend it to you in the form of a house note or a car note. You ever notice that? Yeah, they're always willing to loan your money for better than they pay you on the money. It's just the way the banking system works. So do yourself a favor and become a good steward of your personal cash. How you treat this money has ramifications on other areas of your finances, possibly even on your credit score. And your credit score is important if you plan to invest in real estate. But realistically, the money in your pocket or your purse is really just a fraction of your net worth. Therefore, let's consider other places that you put your money into. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk about that sacred cow that you have, that 401k. That's where you're putting your money for investing, right? You know, most American workers have heard of a 401k plan. There's countless financial magazines, books, websites, radio show hosts, television show hosts, and experts out there. They all seem to agree that the 401k is the best investment vehicle for the average investor to reach his or her retirement goals. And are you noticing the sarcasm in my voice? Yeah. You know, some of you have one. Others of you, you want one. I mean, after all, isn't it one of the symbols of success that you use as you're moving up the corporate ladder? I mean, isn't that it? Oh, my 401k is worth $800K. Oh, my 401k is worth $700K, whatever the number is. But is the 401k really the powerful tool we are led to believe it to be? Or is it just a brilliant marketing scheme created by Wall Street? So I asked the question, who's in control of your 401k? And I asked this not as a rhetorical question, but so that you can take a serious look at who really is and is not in control of your money. I'm going to address the false notion that the 401k and even the stock market in general is a good place for you to invest your money, because I don't think it is. I really, truly, in my heart, don't think it is. So here's a question for you. Since you've got your money in that 401k, does the market control your 401k? You know, I watched a documentary about how investors with big time money, I mean, we're talking big dollars, could easily manipulate a stock's price. Well, this is how they did it. They would buy huge blocks of a particular stock, which drove the price up. It's a supply and demand feature. And because that price started going up, it started generating interest in that stock, which led the average investor to buy into the stock because now this was the hot stock. This thing was on the move. Meanwhile, as the average small investor buys in at what is now an inflated price, the big time money investor sells at a profit and pockets a handsome gain. And they're good with that, because from here on out, it doesn't matter to that investor whether the stock price drops, because that person, well, they sold their position. And right on cue, the stock price will drop because of the selling off the huge block of stocks and due to the fact that the previous rise in price was not based on company performance or fundamentals. It was an artificial increase in value. Now, this documentary I watched was not about hedge fund managers from the 90s or the 2000s, nor was it about Dennis Levine's or Ivan Boesky's of the 1980s. It was about practices dating all the way back to the 1920s and predating the most famous stock market crash in history. In other words, these practices had been around for decades, and the stock market of the 1920s was stacked against the average investor just as it is today. And we come back from the break. I'm going to get more into that stock market. You're going to want to listen to it. We'll be back after this.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So on today's show, we're talking about who's in control of your money, because I think it's very important for you to understand that. You know, there's a lot of you out there that you do a little thing called fire and forget. In other words, you program money to come out of your check before you even get it. And that money goes off to maybe a 401k, and maybe you get matching funds, maybe you don't. And that money sits there, and then maybe you get to tweak the investments a little bit. But for the most part, you're just kind of invested in what the herd mentality is invested in. And before we went to break, I was talking about a documentary that I saw. It was a PBS documentary, and it talked about how manipulations that went on back in the 1920s actually led to some of the problems that caused the great stock crisis, the crash of 1929. And in addition to manipulations caused by institutions with huge amounts of money to invest, consider what the stock market does every time there's uncertainty of any kind. I mean, take a look at the historical returns after, I don't know, events like 9/11, or just this year with the coronavirus pandemic that kicked in around March. Think about how much the market reacts to every press conference held by a Federal Reserve chief. I mean, even former chiefs like, you know, Alan Greenspan, he can send the market into a frenzy, and he's not even the Fed chief anymore. Just the fact that he said something can spook the market. And of course, I've got to be very clear with you. Some people have gotten rich in the stock market. It does happen. In fact, employees of companies like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Starbucks, they had employees that became millionaires because of the stock market. But let's get into the why, because you have to understand why it occurred. They became stock market millionaires, not by playing the stock market as investors, but because of the capital raised by their company's stock. You see, the stock market is designed as a way for companies to raise capital. That's it. That's what it's designed to do. It was not designed to fund the retirement plans of a nation's workers. I mean, that's not to say that you can't become rich by playing in the stock market. You can. I know people who have. But the odds, they're not in the favor of the small investor, people like you and me. So, you know, there's another question I got to ask you. Do corporations control your 401k? Well, do they? Have you ever heard the phrase, good help is hard to find? It's true. From the person that cleans the floors to the top dog, good help truly is hard to find. Take, for example, Dennis Kowalski, the former CEO of Tyco International. Type his name into Google and read about how he stole millions of company dollars for his own personal use, or more accurately, for his own personal waste. And maybe some of you have heard about companies like Enron and how this one-time darling of Wall Street was cooking the books for years until the company actually imploded financially. I mean, you've heard of Enron, haven't you? I mean, every investor worth his or her salt in the day, they owned Enron. Did you? Go ahead and read up on a guy by the name of Bernard Ebbers. Now, he was the co-founder and CEO of a company called WorldCom, and he is a convicted fraudster. How about a guy by the name of Scott Sullivan? He's the former chief financial officer, secretary, treasurer, and a board member for WorldCom. And he was convicted as part of WorldCom's $3.8 billion accounting fraud, which at the time was the largest scandal of its kind in United States history. How about a guy by the name of Joseph Nachio? He was the CEO and chairman of the board for a company called Quest Communications International. And he held that position for 5 years, from 97 until about 2002. Well, that guy, well, he was convicted of 19 counts of insider trading in Quest stock back in 2007. How about the name John Riggis? Does that ring a bell? Well, he was the founder of Adelphia Communications, and he was sentenced to 15 years in prison due to his role in a multi-billion dollar fraud that led to the collapse of the nation's fifth largest cable company. Oh, and his son, Timothy? Yeah, he was the company's former CFO, and he was sentenced to 20 years of hard time. Then, you know, there's that whole debacle at Health South. You've probably heard of it. The infamous $2.8 billion accounting scandal, which was perpetrated from 1996 through 2002, left a trail of misery in its wake. It resulted in the carnage of many shareholders' value, plus the imprisonment of CEO Richard Scarucci and several of HealthSouth's CFOs. Notice I said several of them, were a number, as well as a number of other company officials. They all went to jail. And the list goes on. It goes on. I mean, if you want more dirt, it's out there. I'll tell you what, go to the FBI's website and look under white crime stories. It's all there, except for the drama, because it's all real. So is it possible that fraud is still occurring today? Or have all the dishonest executives, have they all been caught? You know, the men I mentioned were executives at corporations that had millions of shares of stock owned by ordinary investors everywhere. Every one of those stocks were widely held by millions of 401k plans. So the question I have for you is this. Do you even know what's in your 401k plan? I mean, you get that perspectives and stuff where they send it to you once a year and you kind of look at it and go, man, that's a lot of words. I don't know if I can read all of that. Do you really know what you're investing in, or are you just humming along at that 7 to 8% return that your financial planner said you should make. When we come back from the break, I'm going to dig into that next. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So on today's show, we're just talking about who's in control of your money. And I think it's kind of an interesting question because many of you just take your money and you just kind of push it across the table like you're in Las Vegas at a giant poker event. You've got great cards in your hands. Everybody else is folded. There's a big pile on the table in the center, and you're pushing all of your available funds into that pile. Kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Well, I think you're doing the same thing with your money. I think you gave up control. You know, one of the things that I think is important to ask is if your company controls your 401k. You know, most companies that have the ability do offer a 401k plan to their employees. However, the investment choices available in those plans are sometimes limited. For example, there's a thing out there called exchange-traded funds, ETFs for short. Those types of funds may not be available to you. It just may not be part of the package. You know, if your company has a plan with a giant investment house, like maybe, I don't know, Fidelity or T. Rowe Price, then you probably do have several choices out there. But for the most part, you're still limited to stock and bond mutual funds. And if those choices sound good to you, then what I want you to do is get a copy of this podcast. You can find it by going to lifestylesunlimited.com, clicking on the radio tab, and listen to the beginning of the show again. I think it's important. You know, with the government indicating that we may be going back into a lockdown in this country, you know, due to coronavirus, what impact will that have on your 401k? Sure, the stock market recovered in March. But what happens on the next go-round? What impact does that have on you if you're planning to take retirement in the next 5 to 10 years? Do you want to be one of those Americans who's disillusioned with the false belief that your 401k will be your saving grace in your golden years? And even before the massive number of job losses due to coronavirus swept across the country, even after the stock market boom of the Trump era, most of you don't have nearly enough money in your retirement funds to actually retire. You're falling way short. And if the market changes direction with a, you know, looming Biden presidency on the horizon, it's going to be difficult to increase the value of your 401k and difficult to fund it if you're affected by the next round of coronavirus effects that impact the job market. You know, if the job market does worsen, that's going to lead to an increasing number of companies discontinuing the practice of contributing matching funds to their employees' 401k plans, or even hiring new employees, because even if they hire those new employees, they're going to hire them in a temporary status. Therefore, they're not going to offer any retirement plans at all to those new people. You know, this is a widespread practice that goes back to the economic collapse of 2008, and firms did the exact same thing this year. And what about that bonus you're counting on? Is that bonus going to materialize this year? A good friend of mine found out, nope, it's not coming. It's not coming. Due to coronavirus, all bonuses were canceled. Do the institutional investors control your 401k? You know, it is true that the 401k industry and traditional investing does make a lot of sense for a lot of people. I mean, just watch any football game broadcast on in America, and you're going to see that most of the advertising dollars are coming from, I don't know, beer companies, car companies, and investment houses. And where do all those advertising dollars come from? Well, from you, of course. You know, it comes from the fees that you pay. You know, if the market goes down, you're going to pay fees. If the market goes up, you're going to pay fees. You pay fees to interrupt your team's game on TV. Your fees also pay for glossy magazine ads in Money Magazine and Forbes Magazine. And your fees also pay for limos, expensive suits, and other things, to include maybe cruises and first-class airline tickets and the latest smartphones for other people. Have you ever lost money in the stock market only to hear that, well, now is a great time to buy in? Does it really make sense to catch a falling knife? And what if your broker told you to continue betting on a losing horse? Exactly what money are you supposed to buy in with when you lose any and all portions of your net worth in the market? Remember, the broker's salaries are not dependent on market performance, but on making trades and bringing in more customers so that they can charge those additional customers fees. That's really how they make all their money. It's based off of fee income. And along with those, you know, reputable institutional investment houses out there. Okay, I'm going to take the sarcasm out. There are absolutely some reputable companies out there. But don't forget about the non-reputable guys that were out there. Guys like Bernie Madoff. Remember him? You know, he was a former market maker, investment advisor, financier. And by the way, he's currently a convicted fraudster who is serving a federal prison sentence for offenses related to a massive Ponzi scheme. He's also the former non-executive chairman of the NASDAQ stock market. He's the confessed operator of the largest Ponzi scheme in world history and the largest financial fraud in United States history, period. You know, prosecutors estimated the fraud to be worth $64.8 billion based on the amounts in Madoff's 4,800 clients' accounts back in 2008. And then there was another guy by the name of R. Allen Stanford. Well, he's currently serving 110 years in the federal pen because he was convicted in 2012 of charges that his investment company was a massive Ponzi scheme and just a complete fraud. Now, those two were convicted of ripping off millions of dollars from investors. Investors who gave complete control of their money over to these strangers because there was a time when they too were considered reputable. So let me be very clear. Please don't think that I'm lumping all investment companies in with the likes of Madoff or Stanford, because I'm not. I've invested in the past with, you know, companies like Scottrade, and I never had a single complaint, and I always received excellent customer service. However, I never really made a bunch of money playing the stock market, but the companies I used, they seemed to be like good companies to me. And wait a minute, isn't Scottrade gone now? I think they're gone. Oh well. We come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about an alternative that I think makes perfect sense for your retirement plans. And we'll get into that in the last segment.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time. This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
So we're talking about who's in control of your money, and I've pretty much framed an argument that it's not you. It really isn't. You've made a decision to put your money into some type of quote-unquote retirement savings account. The money just goes in there, and you don't really think much about it. You really don't. And I'm here to tell you, there's an alternative. And everything that I've talked about on the show so far may sound pretty gloomy to you, and it should be. But hopefully you understand that the truth is that you have very little control over the money, which is your money, by the way, if it's tied up in a 401k plan. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that if in a 401k plan, you're not even allowed to have access to your money until you're 59 and a half years of age. So really, you have no control over your money without paying a hefty penalty. Sure, you can potentially take a loan out of your 401k. But depending on what your employer's plan allows, you could take out maybe as much as 50% of your savings up to a cap of $50,000 within a 12-month period of time. And the CARES Act did permit plans to offer an increased loan limit way above the $50,000. I think it went up to $100,000 for the limit. But not all employers have adopted the new CARES Act provisions. So just because the government says you get to, your company may not let you. So, you know, if you're in your 30s, you should have a distaste towards the thought of not being able to use your money for the next, say, 20 plus years. You know, I really think that there is a better way, as do all the members of Lifestyles Unlimited. It's an alternative that gives you much more control over your investment dollars and allows you to mitigate the things that you're not able to control. And here's how you do it. When you buy investment real estate, you have complete control over where you choose to buy that property. You know the part of town where the property is located, the subdivision, the street, the nearby freeways, everything. You know the condition of the house before you commit to buying it because you have the opportunity to inspect, or even better yet, hire a professional home inspector to check the property out so that you understand what the condition of the property is. Now, compare that to buying a stock in an American company that could have its headquarters, I don't know, offshore in order to avoid paying United States taxes. Maybe they manufacture their goods overseas in China, then they assemble everything in Mexico, then they market the goods here. Nothing against China or Mexico. My point is this. Aside from having less political stability in those countries than here in the United States, it is hard to know where that company is actually located. It's not feasible for you to go inspect those companies in which you wish to invest your hard-earned money. Sure, you can look that company up on the internet and they'll give you their version of the facts. But my point is this, you can't do a pre-purchase inspection like you can do with residential income producing property. And just in stocks, when you buy real estate as an investment, you cannot control the market forces that dictate the asking price of that investment. However, unlike stocks, with real estate, you directly participate in the purchase price negotiations. And if you buy at the right price, and you should, then it doesn't matter if the market fluctuates lower than the price of your investment, because the positive cash flow that that asset is bringing every month is providing you a tangible, real return on your investment. So if the market takes, I don't know, let's say it crashes, let's say it takes 5 years to rebound, then all you did was collect 5 years worth of rent checks from your residents. But if your stocks devalue, what choice do you have? You know, you can hold on until maybe it rebounds, or maybe you sell at a loss to preserve some of the working capital, thinking that you'll put it into a different stock that has a better potential to grow. You know, mutual fund managers are faced with scrutiny from shareholders, the media, and competitors in the industry, which puts them under tremendous pressure to perform well versus the market. And outperforming the market, well, I mean, So let's be honest, that brings in more customers, which brings in millions of dollars more to the organization in the form of fee income. But as an individual investor in real estate, you're not under that kind of pressure to outperform any other competitors. You are free to learn from your mistakes. Should you veer off the map? I mean, we put you on a map that allows you not to make mistakes, but you might. But the point here is that you are not controlled by the pressure of stakeholders. One kind of event that no investor can control is a thing called a catastrophe or a natural disaster. But of course, you can put measures into place in order to mitigate any potential losses. You are in control of how much insurance you place on your investment when you purchase a piece of physical real estate. But can you buy insurance for your stock portfolio? No, not that I'm aware of. You know, the best you can do is to minimize your loss in the stock market is to do what was called put a stop loss in place. That strategy is called buy high, sell low. You can, however, buy insurance products on your real estate investments. Obviously, not even the most savvy investor could control the path or the magnitude of Hurricane Harvey when it came in from the Gulf and just beat America up back in 2017. But if you experience thousands of dollars worth of damage done to your property because of the storm, you received a check from the insurance company for thousands of dollars, and your resulting loss was zero. The best part is that your residents were actually the ones who were making the insurance premiums every month because they were paying you rent every month, and you made the associated business payments with that money. And once you own a property, you have complete control over who you allow to live there. You can do background checks. You should do background checks just to make sure that your renter has a good rental history. And you should do a credit history and criminal background to make sure that they are up to your standards. And of course, you're going to follow all fair housing laws. And of course, nothing is absolutely foolproof, but there's a much greater level of control than you would have if you bought stock in a company. You know, when you buy stock, you do not have any control over the company or the decisions that company makes with your money. Okay, you get a few proxy votes concerning the board of directors. I get that. But realistically, you've got no control with those few minuscule votes. And remember, the board of directors could include guys like Jeff Skilling or Ken Lay of Enron fame. Do you want guys like that controlling your money? I think what you need to do, regardless of where you choose to invest your money, is to put it in a place where you can keep as much control of your money as physically possible. Remember, nobody has your interests at heart like you do. You can trust your money to strangers, or you can trust yourself. To review what you can and cannot control, just remember that with stock investments, you can't control market manipulations, whether they were intentional or they were caused by outside forces. But when you buy a piece of property at a good price relative to market value, you don't have to worry about what the market does. For example, if you buy a property at a 25% discount relative to market prices, and let's say the market drops 25%, you're still doing fine. Remember, with real estate, you are more concerned about the cash flow. The direction of the market is not the most crucial factor. It is just one of those things that occurs in the real estate markets. If you do own property, then keep control of your liabilities with good insurance coverage because you cannot insure your stock portfolio against loss, but you can insure your property. In fact, you can't get a rental property loan from the bank without having insurance in place. That's part of the deal. So keep control of who you allow to live in your property. Keep your expenses under control. And finally, keep on investing the smartest way you can by keeping control of your own money. You know, investing in real estate is not just a few mouse clicks away. It's going to take a little bit more than that, and it's going to take an education because we believe without a proper education, you are doomed to make failures and mistakes that could create failures in real estate. We want to help you avoid that. And that's exactly what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We teach people how to correctly invest in real estate assets so that they can achieve retirement in 5 years or less, not on the plan you're on, and more importantly, to allow you to control your own money. Go to freeworkshoplivestream.com for further information.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.